Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. And today, to your business. We've been talking a good bit lately, and we will continue to talk about how the stages and how connections play in at work. And today we're going to be talking about connecting to your team. And no, I am not going to have you do a bunch of goofy team building exercises. I hate those things with a passion. And we'll talk about why in a minute. Before we get started, a quick shout out to new listeners in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Thank you for this connection. Thanks for joining us. I'm so excited to have you here. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, you can use the link in the show notes and let me know what's going on in your world and how I can help. So let's talk about connecting to your team. This is part of using the stages for better management and leadership. Now, connecting to your team is not a new idea, but it certainly could use some updating. Now, many businesses will seek to create a family atmosphere or a group cohesion in an effort to curtail turnover and to boost productivity. Oh, but I just thought they really liked me. Now, they want you to work hard and they don't want you to leave. They want you to stay there and work hard. It's not personal. It's a business. I'm sorry. Now, the whole kind of group cohesion thing, well, that works really well for some kinds of employees in certain stages, but not everyone wants work to be family. And many people absolutely cannot stand those ridiculous team building exercises. But they all participate. Well, of course they do. They participate out of the fear of losing their jobs or, worse, losing the good graces of the boss, but their hearts are not in it. And I'm not going to tell you how to get their hearts into those exercises. I am going to recommend that you stop treating your team like they're all the same and start treating them like the individual human beings that they are. They are on your team to do a job and to get paid. Now, on a good day, maybe they can feel purposeful about what they're doing, but that's a bonus. Not everyone on the team will get along. I guarantee that not everyone on your team is an extrovert. Now, for the best results, you're going to need to connect personally to each person who works under your supervision and put efforts in place to help them connect to each other. That does not mean team building exercises. Connecting to each other on sort of the same level of the hierarchy, that's going to come later. We're going to talk about that more later. So for right now, I want to focus on you connecting to the people that you directly supervise. And that's what I mean when I say your team. Now, your team works for you. So that automatically places a certain bias on the interaction. You have their future and their day-to-day happiness or misery at work in your hands. And because of that, they want to keep you happy. Because they want to keep you happy, they will agree to things that they would rather not agree to, such as the aforementioned ridiculous team-building exercises. They might agree to schedules that they don't want. They might agree to assignments that they don't want, to policies that they don't agree with. They may agree to meetings that make them miserable and that will ultimately be why they leave. And you thought they were so happy. So the first question is, how can you get an honest interaction with people that you supervise. You can't. I'm sorry. You will never see them volunteer their full truth to you. And that's just how it's going to be. There's too much at stake. So how can you connect to people that will never show you their full truth? Well, you must become the kind of person who can see their truth without asking for it and without them volunteering it. You must train yourself to read people. And now once you reach a solid stage 8 to stage 9 in your own development, your people reading skills will be significantly stronger. You'll be able to read their true response regardless of their outward answer. So the answer, as usual, is to work on you first. Work on your own development to get yourself to a place where you can see their truth without them having to say anything. But in the meantime, connecting with your team is not impossible. First, recognize what stage they are in. Now, the large majority of people cannot hide their stage no matter what they do. Just ask them how they're doing and let them talk. Now, let me say that part again because this is really the most important part. Let them talk. If you let them talk for even 5 minutes, you will be able to spot what stage they are in today. And maybe a lot faster than that. Now, the art of listening is something that we can all improve on, says the woman sitting here just yapping at you continuously. But we can all get better at listening. It sets a good example, and it shows that you care about them as a person. Then you've got to learn to interpret what you hear. Many of your team members will give very clear signals about what stage they are in today, because remember, what stage they're in could change month to month, week to week, potentially day to day, just depending on what's going on in their personal life. So the stage they were in yesterday may not be the stage they were in today because you don't know what happened at home. So let's do some example indicators, things you might hear. If they say things like, well, I don't know what to do about this, or I'm open to ideas, or I have no clue. These words that signal openness means they're in stage 1. They are open. Excellent. Give them some ideas. If they come in saying things like, well, I just can't believe what happened, and they start telling you stories about some experience they had related to work or personal or whatever it is, and they're just relating an experience, that's stage 2, experiences. Or they might come in stage 3, which is needs. And stage 3 is the easiest to spot because literally the word need will come out of their mouth. Boss, I just need this thing. Boss, I just need this opportunity. I just need this thing. That's stage 3. And there's a subtle difference then with stage 4. They really need, because stage 4 is focused on the needs of other people. Now, people operating in stage 5, which is ideology, well, they might make it obvious by walking around the hallways talking about politics, but stage 5 can look a little bit different too. Stage 5 could be about work ideology, right? It's not always politics. It's any hardened set of beliefs, right? So stage 5 team members are going to say things like, it's just not done that way, or we don't do it like that. It's against policy. The policy says we have a method for this. These are all blatant indicators of a team member in stage 5. Now, they might instead come in and say things like, I think we're being too rigid about this. Come on now, you know, to each his own. I don't really care how they do their job as long as they get it done. Well, that's a very live and let live mentality. That's a stage six. That's kind of nice. I hope you get a lot of those. Or you might have team members in stage seven. Stage seven is all about questioning everything. Now, what's that going to look like at work? They're going to come in and say things like, I don't think this process is working anymore. We really need to think about a new way. Or why are we doing this? Why do we do it like that? This is a ridiculous way to do things. And they have this sense of wanting to kind of dismantle how it's done right now. And they might have good reason for that. Or they just might be in a questioning everything kind of mood today. Now, they might walk in and be in stage eight, which is all about purpose. And their language will reflect that sense of purpose and that preference to focus on purpose by saying things like, we have one goal here, or we are doing this for a reason, or let's keep our eye on the end purpose or on the end goal. They'll talk about purposes and goals and mission. And that's stage eight. That's wonderful. Or they might come in and say, you know, there's something good here. There's the truth in everything. Let's just kind of pick out what is good and what is true in this. That's a stage nine mentality. It's about consciousness. It's about finding the common truths in everything. Now, if you can understand what stage they're in by the language that they're using, you can meet them where they are, give them what they need to do a good job, and then help guide them to a better stage. Now, notice in all of this, we did not once pry into their personal lives. That can be incredibly uncomfortable for many people. But we don't need to pry. You want them focused on work anyway, right? So we can use the context of work for most of this vital connection. Suppose you realize that your team member is in stage three, I am my needs. But to do their job well, they need to be in stage four, focused on the needs of others. So your job here is to address the unmet needs and then guide them into stage four, get them into that mindset quickly. Now, this doesn't have to be hard. This can be actually really quick and easy. So just find out what their needs are. Just ask, what do you need? Literally, ask them what they need. Boss, I just need, what do you need? You're very likely to get an honest answer here. Take it seriously and make sure that those needs are fulfilled. Assure them that their needs will be met, and quickly, and actually make sure that you do it. And then ask the kinds of questions that will guide their thinking back to stage four. Thinking about the needs of others. Perhaps it's the needs of the team or the needs of the project that they're working on. The important thing here is that you're not going to be able to get them back to stage four if you don't meet their personal, you know, their personal work needs, whatever they need right now. You must address the unmet needs from stage three. Unmet needs are what pulled them into stage three to begin with today. And so if you don't address those needs, their needs, they will not successfully exit stage three for more than a few minutes. So remember, each stage has tasks that must be addressed, or you will be pulled back there again to address them. So when you become the manager who provides opportunities and meets needs and listens, you become the manager that no one wants to leave and everyone wants to work with. But you also become the manager of the most effective team in the company. Now, why is that? Because we each have an ideal stage for our jobs. Every single job has an ideal stage. And when the people doing those jobs are out of alignment with their ideal stage, their performance is out of alignment. When you can help to keep your team in these optimal stages for their jobs, they will operate optimally. So I want you to notice that all you did here was listen, provide for needs, and guide their thinking by asking questions. You did not necessarily solve their problems for them. You did not dictate new policies, and you didn't pry into their personal lives. Let's try another really common example. Suppose you see that due to too many headlines or the latest election season, your team member is in stage 5. I am my ideology. But they're one of your best innovators. You need them to be in stage 7, questioning the status quo of the industry and coming up with brilliant new innovative ideas. This is the hardest case you will ever encounter. Moving someone off of stage 5 can be very challenging. And the reason is that the task of stage 5 is to reduce issues, reduce your ideology to a set of underlying principles rather than a set of issues or platform. What are the underlying principles of that? And then you have to pass through stage 6, live and let live, and then return to questioning everything in stage 7. Now, you have an extra challenge here in that the ideology that they're obsessing over is external. It's personal. That is, it is not the company ideology or the organization's ideology. That's an extra challenge here, but it also offers us a doorway to what to do. So you have to bring them into the company context and guide them through to stage 7. So here's how you do that. 4 steps. Step 1, move them from a personal stage 5 to a company stage 5 by focusing on the underlying principles of your organization. Step 2, once they're in violent agreement to the company principles, and they've shifted their ideological focus over to the company or the organization, shift your discussion with one sentence to something like, yeah, I guess it takes all kinds. You're moving them into that stage 6 mindset. And it's a little bit easier because you know they've been through here before, because normally they'd be in stage 7 to do their job of innovation. So you can just trigger them into stage 6 with some statements along the lines of live and let live. Yeah, I guess it takes all kinds. Now, the next thing out of your mouth should be an abrupt change of subject now to the subject of whatever you need them to innovate on. Like, hey, about that project. And then start questioning the status quo. Ask the kinds of questions that will guide their thinking into stage 7 on that subject. You don't want to just take them into stage 7 at large and have them start questioning life and existence. Focus on the project and start dismantling the status quo on that subject. And then let them get back to work. Job done. So what we did there is they were in a stage 5 that was very personal. So we're going to validate their need to swim in their ideology for a while. Bring them over to the company ideology that gets them into a work context, gets them out of their personal life and into the work context. Sweep them through stage 6 fairly quickly, and then jump right into questioning the status quo on the particular subject of whatever project you need them working on. Now notice that once again, all you did was listen and guide. And you guided them through mostly questioning. You did not judge them for talking politics. You validated their need to focus on ideologies for a bit by focusing on the principles of the company. And then you guided them to the best stage for their job today. And you got it really focused down on that project they're working on. It was positive, it was enjoyable, and it took all of 5 minutes. So you are, when you're using these techniques, you're meeting them where they are. You're validating that stage, helping them complete it for now, and guiding them to a more ideal stage for the day. Now, the more you connect with your team in this way, the more they will be honest and open with you. Well, why? Well, because you didn't punish them for the truth. You rewarded the truth with validation and with guidance, right? You didn't punish them for being in stage 3 or stage 5. You validated it and then moved them, guided them somewhere better with questioning. So you offered what you offer. You are a fountain now of validation and guidance. And that's lovely. So lastly, I want you to be honest with your team too, right? They're being honest with you. They're learning to be honest with you. They're being rewarded for being honest with you. Now I want you to be honest with them too. Show a little vulnerability. You're only human. Allow your team to connect with you by admitting to your truth openly. Now I say that with a little caution. Your team does not want to hear the details of your personal life. Please. But your work truth should be an open book. This builds trust, which in turn encourages everyone on the team to be honest about their work truth as well. Right? Attitudes and other things roll downhill. So you want an attitude of honesty about your work truth. You want to demonstrate that, so that they will naturally pick it up and be honest about their work truth as well. And then you encourage that and reward that with validation and with guidance. And it just spirals around and spirals around. Now, so the result is an increasing spiral of honest work-life assessment and happy teams of real human beings in optimal stages producing optimal work. And that is how you connect to your team. Give it a try. I know it seems a little daunting, but the next time you see your team, the next time you go into work, one at a time as you meet them, whether it's virtually or in person, just ask them how they're doing. Assess where they're at right now and help them be in whatever stage is most optimal for their job. And that could change. What do they need to be doing today? What's the optimal stage for that? It probably doesn't change a whole lot. But go back and read more about that, the optimal stages for each job, as well as for the company and so forth. And just practice. It just takes a little practice. Give it a go. If you can quickly put everybody in the right place to begin their work today, you're going to have a much more enjoyable, positive, and productive team. Let me know how it goes for you. Let me know how I can help. And as always, I'm wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.